If the stock market hasn't treated you well, consider fixed income solutions from TriStar Financial. Exceptional execution, settlement, and support for your investments. Find out at TriStarFinancial.us and listen to What's Working Now weekday afternoons at 4 on CNN 650 Radio News, presented by TriStar Financial.
The following took place on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas, USA. Earth.
Let's get to our guest right now on Sports Radio 610. He played quarterback very successfully in the National Football League for the Buffalo Bills, but in the USFL for the Houston Gamblers. It was Jim Kelly out of the University of Miami, and let's welcome him to the program now. Jim, you're on with Mark, John, and John McClain. How's it going today?
I'm doing pretty good. Just in New York City with my wife. We're coming out with a book September 9th called Without a Word about my son and all the things we went through as a family during our son's 8 years of life, and how it changed not only us but changed so many people's lives. Both people that are struggling with your everyday living, plus the struggles that you have when you have a special needs child.
Yeah, Jim, and you've raised so much money for research over the years. Talk about Hunter's Hope and how the whole thing has developed over time.
Well, to make a long story short, my son, after I retired from the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, 2 weeks later on Valentine's Day, which is my birthday, our son was born, and pretty much I thought, all daddies out there thinking about going out in the backyard and tossing football and, playing baseball and going hunting and fishing, pretty much everything my dad did with his six sons, I thought about doing with my son. But unfortunately, or as I look back on now, it was a blessing, but any time you have a child that goes through what my son went through, you dig deep down inside to find the reasons behind it, and we found a lot of great reasons. But unfortunately, our son was diagnosed with a disease called leukodystrophy, Krabbe's disease, and affects the white matter in your brain, guys. And, just pretty much everything we take for granted every day to move and evolve our bodies, our body parts. These children do not have any of those motor skills. And the average life is only 4 to 14 months, but I can probably say that my son lived to be 8 and a half years old, and through him, I've been to so many states changing legislation, and our foundation's kicking butt. And if I could just end on this one about the foundation, what we're doing right now, and for all the listeners out there, this affects everybody that has a child or is planning to have one down the road, or if you have grandchildren. It affects everybody what we're doing, because every single time you have a baby, they do the heel prick. And I don't know if you guys have kids, but they do the heel prick, and they expect to send that little blood spot off to a lab. Well, every state in this country is different on the amount of disease they test for. And when I found out that thousands and thousands of babies are dying every single year in this country because they're born in the wrong state, they're born in a state that maybe Mississippi tests for 54, or Texas tests for 29, and New York was at 11 when my son was born. Then I found out Kansas and Pennsylvania were tested for 7 and 9 diseases. I said, something has to be done. Too many kids are passing away, and too many kids have become permanently disabled. So I've been traveling state to state. Our foundation has been doing so many awareness campaigns to make sure that everybody has to realize what's going on. We've done such wonderful job in 6 or 7 states so far. We have most states are up to 29 or more now, but I'm not stopping until every state's up to 54. Give these kids a chance to dream like I was able to do.
Jim Kelly with us on Sports Radio 610. And, Jim, with the Houston Gamblers 25th reunion, it's going to be at Dave & Buster's on Richmond Saturday. And fan autograph packages go on sale at noon at Dave & Buster's. $50 autograph package, cash, please, and a large portion of the proceeds going to the Hunter's Hope Foundation. Jim, how do you feel about being part of a Gamblers reunion 25 years later? Reflect on that for us.
Well, I was trying to think of what we're going to do. And I said, man, we got to do them, because I do see some of the guys that I played with before. Scott Boucher, his two sons, have come up to my football camp. I've seen Mark Rush, who's been there before. I've seen some of the guys that, over the years, that really haven't stayed in a lot of, touch with a lot of them. But it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I looked over the list of, Jack Pardee and Tony Fitzpatrick, a very good friend of mine who I see a lot. Vince Corville, I'm just looking down over the list right now. Some of Kiki Diallo, one of the first guys that was drafted by the Houston Gamblers. But Billy Kidd, that was my center. I've been very blessed, guys, throughout my career, whether it was high school, college, or any NFL. I was blessed to only really have one center on each of my teams, and Billy Kidd was my center during my USFL days. So it'll be good to see him and see so many guys and reminisce about the run-and-shoot offense that Miles Davis implemented with my little musketeers running around and how much fun we used to have. You won't believe, guys, how when I travel, how many people still bring not only the Houston Gamblers up, but that league. And when I talk to former players that played, you know, played back then, they said, man, that was fun. I just wish it still was around because I know there's still a lot of cities across this country that could use a team, especially keep it in the summer where, you know, there's some things that some cities, I think it would thrive in there. But, you know, we had fun. And, I mean, you go over the list of players that played there from Reggie White to, you know, Steve Young, Doug Flutie, Herschel Walker, all the great guys, Kelvin Bryant, all the great guys that came out of college, a lot of Heisman trophies. So I'm pumped. I'm excited about coming back.
You know, about that league, this is John, Jim, but about that league, could you equate it maybe to the old ABA in basketball? Because everything was fresh. Everything was new. Not every stadium was perfect. You know, back then the Astrodome was nice, but then you'd go into some stadiums with bad water, and it was just, it was an adventure every day.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's no doubt it was. And you know, even near our end of our reign in 85 in Houston, when we decided to merge with the New Jersey Generals, at times we were wondering if we were going to get a paycheck. And I don't want to go, you know, bring back sour memories, but there were some you wondered if you were going to get a paycheck the next day. But the thing we did on the football field, that was fun. And the guys, I mean, Jack Pardee, what a class individual and a great guy. Miles Davis taught me so much about the passing game, not just him. I look back, June Jones was a big part of it. John Jenkins, who I think is still, you know, coaching football now. I had some good coaches. That's the type of coaches I need to prepare me for the NFL and the career that I did have. So I've been very, very blessed to have some great people around me.
Jim, I don't know if Miles Davis is on the list, but Miles is coming in, and they're trying to get all the Mouseketeers. Dr. Jerry Argovitz has been dropped off the face of the earth here. You know, used to be so high profile, and Jerry had plans, but he's changed them, so he'll be there. Tell us about Argovitz and when you first met him, because he was a character. What was he like, and what did he mean to you coming here?
Well, you know, you heard about Jerry being, you know, the high-profile agent, Billy Sims, just to name one, and a few other guys. And, of course, I remember when he brought me in, one of the things he wanted to see was whether I could throw again. Because you got to remember, guys, when I came out of the University of Miami as a senior, up for the Heisman Trophy and everything, I blew my right arm out. They had to insert 3 metal rods into my right shoulder, and they didn't know if I was going to be able to play football again. So the first thing Jerry wanted to do is he wanted to play catch, and you know, he thought he was this good receiver and everything. So we went out in the park and I tossed some footballs around with him. So he wanted to see me throw, you know, so he said, you still got that strength back there? I threw it and I broke his finger. and that pretty much was history. And then when they told me what they were thinking about doing with Jack Pardee, that, you know, the run shoot offense, it was like, what quarterback would not want to play in an offense, you throw all the ball, you're playing in a dome stadium, you don't have to worry about the wind, the rain, the snow. You don't have to worry about any of those things. Plus, it was a new league. They were getting players that I think the NFL took it for granted. I don't think they really thought that some of these guys were serious about signing with the USFL, and all of a sudden you got, you know, Mike Rozier, Herschel Walker, Doug Flutie. You start getting all these great players, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, what's going to go on here? So, but Jerry Argovitz was one of those guys that I enjoyed being around him, you know, and that's where I'll stop because the sour part comes in with getting paid. So I'll leave it at that. These are all good memories I'm trying to remember now.
Jim Kelly with us on Sports Radio 610. How tough was the decision for you personally, though? You talked about the injury and everything, and I know the money was good for you in particular and some others going to the USFL, but the Buffalo Bills had your rights, and at the time they weren't a good team, and they would become a very good team, obviously, once you would eventually join them.
Well, at the beginning, it wasn't really that difficult. I think more than anything, it was difficult for me to tell my parents, my father especially, because as a high school kid, I went to the University of Miami, so I went away from home. My parents are, you know, born and raised in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. I decided to go to the University of Miami, really not coming from a very wealthy family. My parents rarely got to see me play in college. I mean, yeah, once a year when they traveled, or if we played at Penn State or somewhere near, they'd travel to go there. And all of a sudden, I'm drafted by the Buffalo Bills, and all my dad thought about was getting all of his buddies loaded up into a motorhome. I was going to get him and get the Iron City beer in the back and drive to Buffalo for tailgate parties and watch his son play in the NFL. Everything that, you know, my dad dreamt about, and of course myself too, he thought that was going to happen. And then when I told him that I signed with the USFL, I think the initial reaction was a shock. Here it was, his son going off to play somewhere else again. But fortunately for him, at the time, I was one of the highest paid professional athletes, so I would have been able to fly him and mom to Houston for the games. But I guess it still wasn't the same. But for me, it was two great years I remember, and, of course, the best decision I ever made in my life, to be honest with you guys, was becoming a Buffalo Bill in 1986. It was, you know, a blessing for me. I got LeBron, a great owner, that really said, I'm going to get you the players you're going to need to build a championship team. And boy, did he ever. I mean, from Thurman Thomas to, you know, Bruce Smith and Andre Reed, and I can go on and on, all the great players he got there. But I had a blast, not only in my Buffalo Bill days, going to all those Super Bowls and having fun, but those two USFL years. And my brother Ed still lives in Houston. So I still do go see him, and one of the favorite, my favorite places, Papa Seed, is every time I go hunting in Texas, we fly, whether it's in San Antonio or we fly to Houston, we got to go to Papa Seed. So that's one of my favorite restaurants. I got to go and get that Mexican food. And I have so many of my friends that when we do go to Texas, whether it's at Sweetwater Creek Ranch or the Ford Ranch to go hunt, you know, whether it's turkey or deer, I think you can tell, guys, I'm an outdoor person. I love to hunt. But we got to stop there. That's our first stop. As soon as we get our equipment at the airport, we go straight there. So I just enjoy coming back and seeing my brother and my nieces and nephews.
All right, well, it's going to be at Dave & Buster's with the Houston Gamblers 25th reunion. That's Saturday. We're going to have a live broadcast 11 to 3, and fan autograph packages go on sale at noon. And, again, a large portion of the proceeds going to the Hunter's Hope Foundation. Jim, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Sounds good, guys, and thank you very much. And, of course, thanks to Dave & Buster's for allowing us to have it there. It's going to be a hoot. I'm looking forward to it and look forward to seeing you guys.
Great stuff.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Kelly with us on Sports Radio 610. He talked about having the same center at every level of play. His college center, Don Bailey, is one of my best friends in the world. So we have a mutual friend that way. And he talked about playing at Penn State. They went up to Penn State at Miami, but when they were nobody, and beat Penn State on the road in Happy Valley. And that put the program on the map with Howard Schnellenberger and everything. And Kelly did not win that national championship, obviously, with the Hurricanes, the first one. That was Cozar. Kelly was already gone. But part of that vaunted quarterback class of 1983.
When they talked about, remember, it was quarterback you for a while. Jim Kelly started it, basically.
Kelly, Cozar, Vinny Testaverde. I mean, that was, they had it going
what
on.
What about George Myra?
Oh, yeah, George
that was a little bit before.
He came a little bit before that, John.
That's a joke.